Before I share from a passage in Job, Kay, you have something to share about with the bottles.
Well, today is the day you were to bring your baby bottles back. And it's a signification that a child needs a mother and a father, because we collect from Mother's Day to Father's Day. But if you forgot to bring your bottle back today, we're going to keep them for another week. So you got one more week to bring them in. And you can put change in here, you can put bills in here, or you can even put a check in here. So
now this money goes towards?
This money goes towards First Coast Women's Services, which allows or helps women in making the decision to keep their babies.
Very good. Very
Thank
good.
You.
So they have one more week if they didn't bring it today.
One more week.
Did we bring Jeremiah's? I forgot. I know he had had his filled up, and I don't know if we brought his.
And I would have left it my first before I had
seen. Okay. If you would turn in your Bibles to Job chapter 20. Job chapter 20. As we've been going through the genealogies in Matthew, what we are reminded of is that our fathers have been passing down to us the truth all along. This is not only in Judaism, but we believe that God has made himself known to all people, to all nations, that he has not been without his witness. And this is one of the great themes that we've been going through. So this, we're actually finishing up the genealogies in Matthew, and this will be the last week in which we have Tina share. But there's a great passage here in Job, and Job is the oldest book of the Bible. That is to say, it was written before any other book that was written. We know that the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, were written by Moses, as God had given to him these marvelous truths of creation and even up to the law. But this book of Job is the ancient one. And we believe that he was either a contemporary of Abraham or was before Abraham in the writing of this book. What he writes about are some things that we find strange, because here again we don't have scripture was not around, and the law wasn't around, and so there was so much that was not written that was not available to him. How does he know these things? As you come, let me just have you back up in chapter 19, as he says this in his great agony, his great pain. He says in verse 25, "And as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will take his stand on the earth." How does he know that? How could he know that? "Even after my skin is flayed, yet without my flesh I shall see God, whom I myself shall behold." I know I'm going to see him. As you go into Job chapter 20, and as Zophar is answering back to Job, much of the great theology, good theology, comes from Zophar and Bildad as the different ones that really aren't real good friends, because they're a little bit over-condescending, but they have good theology. And if you look with me in Job chapter 20, his cry to Job is, "Do you not know," verse 4, chapter 20, verse 4, "Do you not know this from of old, from the establishment of man on the earth?" These things have been passed on. He actually makes this statement, Bildad does, in Job chapter 8, verse 8, "Please inquire of past generations and consider the things searched out by their fathers." So the Word of God has always been available and has always been proclaimed. Sometimes it's proclaimed through language. And so Tina, come on up, and she has some interesting characters. You have your sheets with you. And we're going to see some things that her forefathers had been writing about. Even within the language, had been given the gospel in the language, telling us about sin, right? That's where it starts. Old Dr. Bob used to say, you have to get them lost before you can get them saved. So I'm going to give you a pen. I'm going to give you one that probably is a little bit brighter than the other one.
Harder.
All right.
Today we have three words. The first one means sin, and like always that we've been going over, one word is composed of different components. So this one means for, the number four. This means against. And that's the word for sin. So in Genesis 3, chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, there were four contradictions against the word of God. Do not eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The serpent was trying to say that you will not die and that God doesn't want you to be powerful.
So against the four things of God.
Mm-hmm.
Against, right.
Against.
So sin is against God.
Yes.
Right. Which is an interesting thing because Satan, the very word for Satan means adversary or against. Right.
Yep. And last week we went over the word for the devil and the tempter. Okay, the second word is naked. And you might be noticing that we use this word for tree a lot. And as Pastor Gary pointed out, it also looks like a cross. Mm-hmm. So this word is for tree, this garden, and you remember we've used this word a lot too. This word means clove or cloth. So Adam and Eve were aware of their nakedness when they sinned. And they tried to cover in the garden in relation to the tree again.
It's quite something that it just always keeps going back to the garden. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, once again, it's a kind of a generic word, naked. Mm-hmm. You could have almost anything there, but they go back to the garden, they go back to the tree.
Yep. And so that is really interesting how the original tree also is a symbol for us as the cross.
Yes. Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Okay, the third word is to hide. Do you see anything similar? It's a tree again. This is cover. So, and there's this body. So the body is hiding.
By the tree.
By the tree.
Mm. And we talked about the fact that we're covered when we're at the cross.
Right. Covered under Christ.
Right. These wonderful characters are revealing to us the message all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They're telling a story.
Yeah.
They're not just words. Like, I guess, in the English language, but the,
mm-hmm.
the characters actually tell the story.
And these words, and the words we've gone over, they really tell the story of creation. What happened in the garden, and what came out of it. It's quite interesting.
You almost don't even have to ask what the etymology is, do you? You just, there it is.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right there in the story.
Yep. And I put that verse in 1 Corinthians on your sheet. I came across it one day, and Paul was talking about interpretation of tongues in foreign languages. And he said that it's for the building up of the body. So this is why we're doing this.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Tina. Well, we're going to miss her not doing this, aren't we? I guess you can... I guess you can go to the Tina website. Shall we bow for prayer? Father, we want to give you thanks for your message that has gone throughout the world, and it is being proclaimed, that you know those who are yours, and you get that message so clear, they cannot miss it. We're thankful that you find us, that we don't have to find you. And we're thankful that you're calling us even before the foundation of the world. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.